Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I didn't want a marriage. I wanted a wedding. Why do I have to get over him? What does that mean?
Would you still say that marriage is something that's attractive to you?
I see that face.
What you got?
What's your thoughts on that one?
I mean,
what did forgiveness and peace look like to you after divorce?
It's funny because we marry people, we get divorced, and you think that's it. I left the marriage. I wanted somebody to save me. Only the truth makes you free.
What's your relationship status? What was your answer?
I don't care. That's the marriage that I want, and that might not look like.
Welcome to Hardly Initiated. It is your host, Tyshawn Jackson, here with another episode. My co-host, Ryan Ketchens.
I'm feeling that energy. I'm feeling it all over. That nice feminine presence, the queen energy.
It's in the building.
Yeah.
Today it's a little bit different because she's not sitting here with us in person in the Hardly Initiated studios, but she's here in spirit. Let me tell y'all, y'all have been asking us through email, DM, comment, in every possible way that the family, the initiates, can reach out to us to speak about co-pairing, to speak about blending these families, because y'all know some of y'all situations are a little ratchet, all right? But guess what? We have went ahead and found somebody who's actually living this life and going to give you something that you're going to walk away with something very valuable here today. And we doing this with the beautiful Sheree Zampino. Welcome to Hardly Initiated. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. I am so happy and honored to be here with you both. Thank you for having me.
I mean, listen, you look good. The lighting is on point. I think you ready.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm ready. I was like, let's go. Let's do this.
Y'all, I prepped up before the show started because, you know, y'all know how we get down to Hardly Initiated. We having these real conversations. Nothing is sugar-coated, and we got to get some answers to this because I'm going to be honest, Sheree, our families in 2024 as a whole, it ain't really doing so well.
Wow.
When you're looking at the grand scheme of how many of us have grown up, are growing up, or just these families, you know, that we see on a day-to-day basis, we struggling.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, it's because it can get so complex because it's hard enough just to raise your family. But when you're talking about blending a family, that can be tricky. And for those of you who don't know, I mean, you've blended families with one of the most famous families ever because your former husband, for those of you who might not know, was actually Will Smith. And you guys had a child together. Mm-hmm. And how old were you, by the way, when you had your first child?
I was 25. Okay. 24, actually 5 days before my 25th birthday.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Hell of a birthday gift. Yeah.
Okay.
Baby.
And
baby.
Were you already married?
Oh, yeah. We were married. Yep. We got engaged. And then I got pregnant while we were engaged. So I was 3 months pregnant when I got married.
Okay.
So we were engaged 6 months. Trey was on his way.
Okay. And how long were you guys, you know, married up until the point of divorce?
Just 3 years. It was a short marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know you might say it's a short marriage, but it's a lot of emotion tied up at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, families get tied. We now brought a child into this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we're talking about this is the point I think is important part for us to start. Because I think that's probably the beginning of where the families start to get blended, right at that point of divorce.
Yeah.
Because I think before you even talk about bringing somebody else into, you know, new partners into it, splitting different ways, I think there's this level of forgiveness that has to take place, this level of peace that has to be brought between two people before you can have a healthy situation afterwards. What did, you know, forgiveness and peace look like to you after divorce?
A process, you know, it's just, it's a choice. You make an immediate choice, but then you got to go through the process, and you don't just forgive once and it's done. It's not a one and done. Forgiveness is a moment by moment decision. You know, you choose to forgive, you choose to release. And then you realize that we're on the same team. You see what I'm saying? We're Team Trey. So we're one. And it's funny because we marry people, we get divorced, and you think that's it. But when you have a child, the marriage is kind of insignificant because y'all are stuck with each other for a very, very long time. You know, so you have to, I'm not saying don't mourn the marriage, definitely mourn the marriage, but then you have to, it has to have a process. It's like you got to get off that mountain and like shift. Okay. Now let's do this as blended, you know, as a blended family, as co-parents. Because we started out, we were just co-parenting. You know, Willow and Jaden came years later, so it was the three of us for a long time. It was me, Will, and Jada. Actually, the four of us, and then, you know, of course, Trey. So,
I think that makes a lot of sense, because, you know, once a kid is involved, you know, a child is involved, then it's really not final, you know, no matter what happens in the course. And I'm very curious about this, because I was actually speaking to a young lady at the gym, and she just came in. She was just really excited, and she just had this glow about her, right? I see her all the time, but this day in particular was different. So I asked her, I'm like, yo, why are you in such a great mood? And she said, listen, I'm going to just go ahead and share this with you. It's a lot of information, but I just really got over this relationship I was in, this, you know? And I asked her, I said, okay, I said, well, you know, how long ago was the relationship? Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, it ended 3 years ago. And I was very, very confused at that point. And I'm like, you know, what exactly does that mean? And she said, I didn't realize how much that relationship had impacted me this 3 years that we haven't even been together. And she said, I had a conversation with the guy I was formerly with, and now I have closure. So I'm very curious about that, particularly with your situation and just in general. What does closure look like after, you know, you've been in a relationship with somebody so long, and what is it that you have to do, or how do you go about seeking closure?
You know, I think, you know, communication for sure, but it's hard to communicate when you are two different people. Think about, you're not the same people going through a divorce than when you got married. You see what I'm saying? Those are completely different people. So you kind of have to give yourself a little space and a little beat and patient, be compassionate with yourself, give yourself time to unwind, do what you need to do, vent, not in front of your child, not with your child. You know, you get a friend, because you got a lot of stuff that you got to release. Sometimes just releasing it, you know, and kind of freeing yourself from it. And then after that, you know, I don't know. To me, it was like, it was a mental shift. There was really, I left the marriage. So it would be, it's different if I had to deal with like an infidelity. Say there was an infidelity and, you know, he left me for another woman. Well, that's probably going to take a little longer to get over than if you made the choice. But nonetheless, the person that I had to forgive the most was myself.
That's probably the hardest person to forgive too, right?
Listen. And until you release yourself, you really can't release anybody else.
Do you think, you know, when it comes to children being involved, right? Do you think it's necessary for you to redevelop a genuine concern or care for the, you know, the person that's also helping you raise your child?
Well, to me, it never went away. I will always love him, always, you know. And then to think that see, we make things mean something they don't mean. The purpose of Will and I coming together was not to have a marriage, clearly. It was to birth something into the world. It was to bring forth a son, you know, whose name is Willard Carroll Smith III. So that's why we call him Trey. So you have to let things kind of be what they are. Make peace with certain things. And I don't have to, why do I have to get over him? What does that mean? Like, I mean, I'm not trying to be sexually engaged with him, but definitely friendship, love, honor, you know, absolutely. I don't, why would I get over? Why would I, what do I have to get over? You know, now it's different if you're still hoping to have a relationship. No. And not that you can't have that hope, but if it's disrespectful, if there's other people involved, if it's interfering with stuff, you know, then it's a problem.
You know, speaking on that, did you have any of that when the divorce was over? Were you 100% ready for it to be over? Did you have a bit of that hope?
It was okay. So when I initiated the divorce, and just being young and not really understanding what a marriage was, I didn't want a marriage. I wanted a wedding. You know what I mean? I wanted a day of, you know, just where I could be a princess. And you think, you buy into the fairy tale and you think that that's going to be your life. And when it falls short of that, you're so devastated. You're so disappointed and you think you got it wrong. You chose wrong.
Wow.
But yeah. And after a while, when you keep having all these failed relationships, you got to look at the common denominator. Okay.
That might be the missing link right there.
You just pissed some people off just now, just so you know. All right.
Listen, only the truth makes you free. Only the truth makes you free. So I'm sorry, Ryan, you asked me something and I went somewhere else.
No. Honestly, that was great because you said something that was heavy about not wanting an actual marriage, but the wedding itself. I think that's so important to say, because I don't know if many of us even know what we really mean when we say we want marriage, because I think many of us really do want the wedding, the bells, the whistles and everything else we've been sold to want in that engagement. And many of us that watch the show, our initiates, y'all know, you see what really comes with that marriage. Right. It ain't many bells and whistles besides the day itself.
It's hard work.
But let me ask you this. At that point in time, do you feel like you were even ready?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Because I wanted somebody to save me from myself, you know, complete me, you know, all my shortcomings and dysfunction. Come on, help me, drag me out of that. Be my savior. You can't put that on anybody. You know, you set everything up to fail at that point, everything up to fail. And that's how I went in. That's really how I went in. I bought into the fairy tale.
Now, here's the thing. You in this place now, you're already married. Yeah. You're in this place. Things are not going very well. And a lot of people are in that place, are going to be in that place in marriage. Do you feel like there's anything, because you said you initiated the divorce.
Yeah.
Is there anything you could have done? Self-work, therapy, I don't know, going away, you know, for a few weeks or months, getting yourself together. Is there anything you could have done to become whole, to make that work? Or was it irredeemable?
I mean, yes, but that process has taken me 35 years.
Wow. That makes sense.
Right.
I want to wait for that. But, you know, I didn't know at the time. And what happens is you're running away from yourself. So you're pointing the finger. You're projecting. You're the problem. You're the problem. And again, you have to really, it's never this. It's always, okay, what's going on in here? What's happening? So neither of us were ready. You know, I didn't. So let me tell you. So now where I am, when I'm looking, because I'm single, so if I'm getting to know somebody, one of the things that has to be clear to me before, you know, we agree to spend the rest of our lives together, whatever that looks like, I need to see what your weaknesses are, because I need to know if I have the capacity to deal with what you need to help you heal, because we're signing up for each other's healing process. Do I have the capacity to help you heal in the most excellent, loving, gracious, kind way? Do I have that? Is your heart safe in my hands? Because there are some things that I don't have the capacity for. Like, I dated a guy who was a yeller. I don't have the capacity for that at all. I will hurt you.
I'm just very curious about this. You know, after your experience, would you still say that marriage is something that's attractive to you?
My partner, finding my partner and my partner finding me, as women, we say we're supposed to be found, but being in union with my person, and having a monogamous commitment. So I don't know. I don't think I would need a piece of paper.
Interesting.
That hasn't really worked. Yeah. Wow.
Interesting. So let's go back to this real quick before we move forward.
Still monogamous.
Still monogamous.
Oh, monogamous. Yeah.
What do
I
you
don't
feel?
Care. I don't care. No.
I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, I think
I'm
most ladies would share that sentiment.
Facts. Yeah. Most fellas too. The fellas ain't sharing either.
Right, you're right about that.
But
right.
When you say the piece of paper, well, like what does the paper cloud or confuse for you to feel that way?
I don't want to say it clouds anything. I don't want to look at it from that perspective, but I'm saying it's not something that I need. I need the commitment. I need, you know, and the trust and all the other elements that come with it, where we're making a commitment to one another to be in this together, to do this. That's the marriage that I want. And that might not look like marriage in the traditional sense. You know, I don't know.
Interesting. Well, look, when you pull this off, we got to get the follow-up. I want the follow-up story.
See how that look.
On that one. Because I've heard a couple guys say that. But I think it's different hearing a woman say it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard a guy, brother, who has been married, divorced, and he said the exact same thing. He said, hey, this time around, I don't know if I want to, you know, get married with, you know, the marriage license and paperwork and all that. I just really want to have that genuine relationship with a woman. And, you know, everything else can come after that. And when we talked about that on the show, the lady, you should have seen him in the chat.
Oh, God.
Oh, hell no. I can't believe that.
But it does feel a little different coming from a woman.
It does feel a little bit different. It does.
That, like you said, something genuine. I want that real heart connect. I want that real heart connection. If we have that real heart connection, I'm good.
Understood. That's the essence. That's the essence of the relationship anyway, right? The connection with that person.
And a lot of times we get married hoping that we'll get that at some point, you know, and I don't know. It's one thing to want to see people grow, because we're both in this. We should be sharpening each other. We should be growing together. But I have to accept you as you are. If you never change, am I going to be okay with you? Yes. You know, but women, what we do is we get projects. We take men as projects and we try to, you know, dust them off and, you know, make them be what we want them to be. And I think we can destroy you in the process.
Oh, man.
I'm very curious about this because we do call-ins on our live show. Yeah. So we'll have a bunch of fellas and the ladies calling in about, you know, very specific things in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found to be recurring is women specifically who are unhappy in a marriage for whatever reason. And are choosing to maintain the relationship because children or a child is involved. Do you think that it's ever a reason to maintain a relationship that you have no longer have interest in for any reason, particularly if you have kids?
I think that's admirable if you're doing it because, you know, you still have hope. You're not like going through the motions, you know what I'm saying? Where you're really doing the work and you're really trying. And there's hope that there will be reconciliation within this, you know, marriage. Then absolutely, I would just say, just be authentic, you know? And of course, if you're in a relationship where there's physical abuse, then, you know, it's better for everybody to, you know, make that physical separation. Maybe you can still work on the marriage, but definitely not from the same location. Hmm. But yeah, I don't want to judge anybody's process, you know? Everybody has the right to do it the way they think is right and best, you know, for them. But I think anytime you stay in it to try to, like I said, there's hope and you're trying to work it out and you're putting in the effort and you're putting in the work and you're trying to honor the commitment that you made, you know, then I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
So we can get some context to this as well. After the divorce took place, how quickly did, Jada actually come into the picture after the divorce?
No, after. Jada was in the picture when we were going through the divorce, right? So you asked me a question earlier, was there ever a time that I, you know, was like, oh my God, like, I want you back. And it was like I filed, and then it was a few months later, and I started to go to a therapist. Mm. I was talking to her about, you know, my relationship, and just unpacking some things, childhood, all that. And I realized, damn, I didn't try as hard as I could have. So I couldn't look at my son in the face every day and know that I didn't try as hard as I thought I did, because I was like, I tried, I did, and I didn't really, you know. So I went back to him and I said, listen, I said, I realized that, you know, I just didn't try to a degree that I'm content with. I said, you know, can we stay in it and try to make it work? And he said, no. And I was like,
wow. Wow. I'm not sure.
I was relieved. I was so relieved.
Wow. So you really, you were hoping that that was the response.
No, I wasn't hoping that was the response, but I wasn't mad that that was the response, because the easier thing to do was to walk away.
Right.
And to say, oh, I tried, son. Your mama tried. You know, than to get back and grind it out and really do the work. So relieved for the wrong reasons, of course. Yeah.
That's incredible courage for you to go back and attempt to have that conversation, or just to have that conversation. I can't imagine how many people would be open to doing that, because so many emotions get involved, especially at the point where attorneys and, you know, the court system gets involved. For you to go back is like, that was big.
It was.
Thank you.
See, here's the thing. A lot of people would be absolutely pissed off at the process. You going through divorce and another woman is already involved, and sometimes those things can be, you know, points of contention, and, you know, why you could have issues when it comes to blending the families and co-parenting, because like, why this person already here? We didn't even have time to do this and that. Did you feel a bit of that, like it was too soon to bring somebody else in?
No, it's funny, because like when I look at it, because it was only like a few months after, because I think it took about 6 months once you file for it to be final. Okay. But it felt like when I filed, it felt like it was over for me. You see what I mean? Mm. So it didn't feel like it was too soon. You know, and I remember, and I've told this story before, where he was going to introduce, you know, Trey to Jada one weekend. And I didn't even think, well, we're still, you know, we're still married. And none of that. We didn't have any of those conversations, you know. So, of course, I was like, just the idea, it could have been 10 years later, just the idea of another woman around my son, you know, that was a tough one. And because I never felt like my position was threatened, like as his mama's mom. Nobody can take my place in that area. I'm his mother, that's who I am. But she gonna be good to my kid? You know what I mean? You're going to have somebody, they're going to treat him the way he deserves to be treated. That's what I was concerned about, you know.
How much influence do you have on that? When you know, you got, you know, your former significant other in a new relationship, how much influence on the evaluation process do you have, if any at all?
You shouldn't have any. Like, none. That's his choice. And I mean, I got in there and I told him I didn't think, I don't know if I ever said this before. Good. But I sure told him, I don't think that's a good choice. I did.
I bet you did.
Now here's the thing. Was that based on genuine observation or was that just emotion that made you want to say that?
No, I think it was, you know, at the time it was just being in friendship circles and whatnot. Mm. I judged her harshly, and I didn't feel that she was worthy, as her book, of my son.
Mm. Pun intended.
Right.
So, and see, that can be tricky because I think, you know, that's what you're supposed, in some cases, that's what you're supposed to do, right? That's your cub. That's your baby.
Yeah.
This other person you don't know is now about to have influence on their life, on their mind, on their thoughts, on their development. So to some degree, you have to use your best discernment to figure out if this person is qualified to be around your child. And I see that face.
What you got?
I mean, what's your thoughts on that one?
I mean, yes, but no. Mm. If I was that concerned, I should have stayed.
Mm. Wow.
See what I'm saying? Wow. I left. I don't get to dictate who he dates and who he chooses. I don't get to dictate that. Or even the timing of it. I left. I don't get to do that. So, yeah, if I felt that, you know, my son wasn't being treated well, or, you know, with love or grace and patience and kindness, of course I would have spoke on that. Of course, you know, that was my only thing, like with Jada. I'm like, I'm not getting caught up in nothing other than she needs to treat my son right. She treats my son right, we're good.
But how much vetting has to happen before this person is introduced to your child? Like, should that other person at least introduce formally you to this new partner before this person is consistently around your child? Or, like you said, is that not even something that needs to happen at that point?
I understand. I hear what you're saying, and I don't think that would be, I mean, that's a great way to do it, if you want to do it that way, if you want to do whatever. But he, out of respect, came to me first. It wasn't like he just did it and then I found out after. So I thought, I was grateful for that.
Right.
Okay. You know, that I got the heads up, you know. But it wasn't like, you know, what do you think? It was like, this is what's happening. This is what I'm doing this weekend.
Gotcha.
And, you know, that's fair. It's his life. It's fair. And I said, okay. I'm having a flashback.
Tell us about it.
I think I said, you don't think it's too soon?
Right.
I think I did say that.
I think that's a fair assessment, though.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, introducing, you know, somebody to these different energies. Now, Trey at this time was still very young. Trey was only, three years old. You know, so.
Yeah.
And that is still old enough to have influence on a child. So, I mean, I think that's a natural concern to think, yo, like, are we moving a little too fast here? Yeah. Should we take it slow? Should, you know, we keep her in the other room while he's over there?
Right.
Should we go ahead? Should she stay upstairs while, you know? I think that's valid. And that's why I want to have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
And when you consider it, I think there are certain, to some degree, boundaries that may need to be set when yeah. you're now introducing another person into your life. Because now when we talk yeah. about even things that go as far as discipline, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, how are these conversations had? Are you guys, are you just like, as these things happen and progress, talking about it? Are you guys having these conversations up front about, hey, here, how this needs to happen? How did you figure out, like, you know, the nuances of what Jada had the right and not the right to do with your child?
That was, you know, that was kind of trial and error. And that happened over, you know, over time. Everything did move very, very quickly. You know what I mean? And boom, we now have this blended family. And I remember us meeting. This was our first introduction. My son came home, so he was with his dad over weekend, and that's when he, you know, met Jada. And when he came home, I said to him, because I didn't want to interrogate my child, you know, I didn't want to do that. And I said to him, I said, did you have a nice time with, you know, with dad? And he said, yes, I did, mommy. And I said, and you met Jada? He said, yes, I met Miss Jada. I said, okay. I said, well, how did you like her? He said, I really like her, mom. He said, can we get her a gift? Like, nigga, what?
Right. Oh my goodness. I know that one.
Yeah,
that was a
little bit. And I said, I said, we can do that. Because he knows, he had seen, like, we like people and we love mm-hmm. people. That's how yeah. we show our love and appreciation, and we give gifts. So I re-gifted her like a little candle or something I had in the closet. I said, I don't have it to go out and buy a new right. gift. I don't have that. But I bought a card. And I signed the card and I said, thank you for making a good impression on my son, Sharif.
Wow.
And I put that in a little, you know, bag. I wrapped the gift, wrapped the candle. And the next time he went, he had, you know, his little gift for her and the card for me. So that was the olive branch, letting her know it is about him, period. So I think that really was the gift that made a way, you know, how your gift makes room for you. I think that was the perfect way for us to start off, because it was like, I came in peace, you know, I'm coming in peace.
I think that's really yeah. dope. We recently had Sister Shahrazad Ali on the show, right? Mm-hmm. And she talked about how particularly young men learn so much about their fathers, whether they're in the household or not, from the mother. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious, in times where you did, you know, did have a bit of frustration or on some levels were dissatisfied with what was happening in the family mm-hmm. dynamic, how did you go about, you know, communicating, if you did communicating that to your son, or mm-hmm. how did you go about shielding him from learning certain things that was happening that you might not have been happy with?
Well, no, I never had those conversations in front of him. And the reason why is because those conversations happened in front of me as a kid. Mm. And I remember feeling like, oh, wow, you know, you feel torn.
Yep.
You feel like you have to pick a side and you don't ever want your child to feel like that. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I had that understanding. So no, I never said anything bad in front of Trey about his father, ever. And I don't talk bad about him anyway. Even to, you know what I mean? I might vent a couple times when he's getting on my nerves, but yeah, for the most part, you know, it's like I think that's a part of the responsibility in the co-parenting is to cover one another. Because again, you're on the same team. Those are his parents. It's one. You guys are one. You are one. So a house divided amongst itself cannot stand, you know? And if you're not agreed, you can't get anywhere. You can't walk together. So there has to be that respect. There has to be respect.
Were there any, and by the way, that was super mature of you.
Yeah, glad you shared that.
To handle the situation, how you, you know, handled it in that way. But was there any point, you know, where you felt like you did not agree about how certain things are being done in that household? Because that can also happen in co-parenting. Like, that ain't really how we do things over here. And I don't like how that's happening. And if that did happen, how did you go about, you know, resolving or dealing with that situation?
It's a conversation, you know, and it's a respectful conversation. But I think you can't go into it expecting somebody to do what you say or do it the way you do it. It's very arrogant. It's very, very arrogant. Because what happens, I'm thinking I do it better. I'm doing this thing better than you, so you should do it the way I'm doing it. And now we're competing. You know what I mean? And now I'm judging and I'm making you wrong. So you kind of gotta, you cannot, it is not advantageous to, you know, to approach it that way. And that's gonna happen. You know, you got divorced for a reason, right?
Right.
You're not together for a reason. Clearly there are a bunch of things you didn't agree on.
Yep.
You didn't see it the same way. You know, maybe the compatibility wasn't there. So you're already, you just have to be, again, you have to be respectful. And hopefully, this was my hope. Okay, so husband and wife, no, but let's be some great co-parents. Mm. Let's kill that. You know, let's get in there and really do a good job at doing that, since this, we didn't do so good at this, you know. But yeah, you have to be respectful. You know, you can't call hot. You know, and you did it. That. Got to watch your tone, especially as women. We have to really watch our tone.
Big facts. Okay.
Watch your tone. And some things, if you used to having a certain tone, when you text something, you might not even be texting it in that tone. But because it's normally your tone, that's... when they read the text, they're going to read it in your normal tone. Mm. The phone, have a conversation. You know, I think that's because we text way too much now. We do. And there's too much room for misunderstanding in a text. So I would say with sensitive issues like that, never do them by text, you know. And it's a shame, you know, and some people might say, well, what if you're not speaking? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The two grown people that made a child can't get on the phone and have a conversation with one another for the sake of that child. You know, that's yeah.
And Sheree, it happens, unfortunately, yeah, more often, you know, than we like to talk about, that those two people, for whatever reason, you know, usually petty reasons, emotions, yeah, and, you know, every other reason that the child gets is second fiddle to the emotions, you know, at play at this point.
See, that's the key. Second fit, you got to shift it. You got to put yourself in the background now. It's not about you anymore. You had your chance. You had your run. Relationship didn't work out. It's about this child or these children. You know, it's not about me anymore.
Let me ask you about this, because, and shout out to my mom, by the way, because I'm thinking.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I say something?
Yeah,
the way
of course.
The camera. Wait, it looks like y'all are holding hands. I said, okay.
You played us.
No, that ain't happening. That ain't happening.
Thank you.
We ain't that close. Right. Hey, fix the camera, Lotto. Fix the camera.
Kumbaya. I thought it was just a kumbaya moment.
Nah, you ain't hitting us like that. Got us in here holding hands.
Oh, no, we're gonna edit that one out. We're gonna edit that one out.
No, we might need to keep that one. That's funny.
But go ahead.
No, so shout out to my mom, because I'm thinking about my mom, right? And I'm thinking about, you know, kind of as I was growing up, I would develop preferences for who I like to spend my time with, right? Now, in this case, it was my grandmother. I just love spending time with my grandmother. But I remember that anytime something would come up where I would want to actually spend time at my grandma's house instead of with my mom, it would just be some kind of beef going on, you know. So, you know, as, you know, Trey, he's growing up and he's deciding how he prefers to spend his time. Was there ever any moments where you were kind of like, man, I know he wants to do this, but I would just much prefer him be with me? And how did you express that, or how did you deal with that emotion?
Whew, yeah, I definitely had that. So when he was 14 and I was getting ready to get married again, and we were going to move to San Diego, and I was looking at schools, you know, Trey goes with me, Trey comes with me. And you know, Trey was with me the majority of the time. So just, it's a natural, you know, that's, it's a natural transition. He goes where I go. And then we had, I'll say this, Will and I had joint custody because that's not something I ever fought him on. I was like, yeah, he's just as much yours as he is mine. So legally, I can't take my son out of the state, but I'm going to San Diego. I'm not going out of the state. So, you know, I just told him, this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. And nothing has to change for you and your son. You can see each other just as much as you do now. I said, however, he is not going to go back and forth. That's something you will have to do, you know? So anyway, so Will and Trey got together and Will... And Will, you know, just said to Trey that, you know, hey, I'm not going to work for a year. So got options, bruh. You can stay here. And not move to San Diego. And then you keep your same school. You know, I mean, he's thinking, Trey is like, yeah, I don't have to change anything. Keep my same school, my friends, the whole bit, you know. Because he wasn't, he knew he was moving. And he wasn't like, I can't wait to move. But he wasn't like, you know. He was just, you know, at times you could kind of, but for the most part, he was fine. It was just something that I feel like he just accepted. Just, it just is what it is. So anyway, so then Trey comes to me and now he's like, I got options. He's coming at me like that. Why are you making me? Da, 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 da. And then it was funny because it was Mother's Day and he gave me a card. We were at church and he just gave me the card like this. And the card had Cherie on it.
Shots fired.
I was like, is this little boy serious right now? So he just, he went through a process there where he was just angry at me, like resented me, like, and just, and then would say like, and just, why are you making me go? I don't want to go with you. Why would I want to leave here? I don't want to go with you. I was like, and it hurt my feelings so much because I'm thinking like I've been the most constant thing in your life. So I started to resent him back.
Wow.
I didn't even know that was possible, but I started to like I had, and I had a, it is what it is. We laugh about it today. But I had a I had a really bad mommy moment when I kind of called him a little ungrateful mother.
if that's what it was, my mama had a few of them. First of all, maybe a little bit worse than that.
Right, man. That, don't worry, that's a very common moment in motherhood.
Ungrateful Negro.
Right.
I was like, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, really nice for a church lady." I was marrying a pastor.
Wait, how old was Trey at this point?
14.
Oh, he had a slick little mouth. Oh,
bruh, the 14, they all got it.
Oh, yeah, that's when you start, that's when you start getting slick, snappy with it.
Yeah, young man too, so.
So, yeah, he got me. He got me with that one. And I was just like, oh, I don't understand this, you know. And it really, it was just, it was heartbreaking. And then I'll tell you, I just really, I was praying, you know, just asking God to just give me, work it out, give me understanding. And I, you know, I'm just, this is, I've never been in this position with my son before where my heart is not right towards him, his heart is not right towards me. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to see it in a way that I got it. And I just was able to make peace with it instantly. So what I was thinking is that what Trey was doing is he was choosing his friends, his school, his father. My mother was alive at the time, his grandmother. He's choosing all of them over me because I'm here. And the Holy Spirit said, you're a given, you're a constant. The same language I used in my head. You're a constant in his life. So he's thinking, if I stay, I have them and I have you. He's never making a choice, them or you. You're a given.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get it. And then I was able to have compassion for him and even empathy. And I got it. And he came in one day, and this is right after I got that revelation. His whole tone changed. Now, he doesn't know, but God just did something. And he came to me and he said, Mom, he said, you know, he said, I've been with you my whole life. He said, I really want the opportunity to live with my dad.
Wow.
Done. I can't stand in the way of that. As soon as he said that, I said, okay, baby, we'll work it out. I have to give him that. He deserves that. But man, I would cry like a baby every time. So what I ended up doing was, I didn't move to San Diego full time. So I kept my house in Chatsworth and I was back and forth. So I'm the one that did the back and forth. I did that for 8 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
You know, I think that's a really good sign though, but even though it feels, it hurts when it's happening.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really great sign for a young man to be at that point separating from his mom at that point and going off to explore the world and whatever that might look like. You know, sometimes that might be, you know, going off playing sports and he's after school and on the weekends with new people and new friends with his coaches and doing these different things to now learn himself as a man versus a man who overly cleaves to his mom mm-hmm. in that phase of his life. And becomes a mama's boy, and he ends up being handicapped and overly protected and gets smacked in the face by the world when he gets there. So, you know, the thing about it is that actually is a very healthy, natural progression for a man in his earlier years to be close to his mom, but then might want to move and be with his father as he really matures into the man that he's becoming.
Yeah.
You know, so that I see how it's hard though on the mama side.
Yeah.
So Sheree, you know, you got this young man, right? You raised this young man, and I'm sure you know you like you talked about. I think you were getting ready to marry a pastor, right?
Yeah.
So now you bring in another man into your son's life. So what does that what did that evaluation process look like? Are you looking for somebody who has these fatherly skills? Is it anything in particular that you were thinking, hey, this man must have if I'm to bring him into our lives?
Yeah, he has to be one. He has to be okay with blended families because that's what we are, you know, and we're able to come together and during the holidays and celebrate birthdays. Now, we don't have to do all the holidays, you know what I mean? But, you know, birthdays, yeah, everybody's going to be there. So he has to be secure. You know, he has to be secure because I know, too, that situation comes with a lot. Some men don't want to deal with that. You know, just Will Smith's ex, they just don't want to deal. And that's good. I would rather you disqualify yourself so I don't have to, like, spare me, you know. But I looked at his character. He had great character. He, good man. Godly man, loved my son, you know, was very patient. That was important for me too, because Trey, when my son was little, he was very rambunctious. You know, he had a lot of energy, just kind of out of control a little bit. And so, you know, somebody who was patient with that. And he was all those things. And he was a great addition. He was a great addition to our family dynamic, you know, and got along with Will, Jada. That was important too, you know.
So how long did you, you know, date him before you felt comfortable to actually, you know, bring him around your son?
We dated for 5 years, but I honestly don't remember. It was probably a few months, like when I knew, like, yeah, I think this can really go somewhere. So maybe 6 months.
And is that the prerequisite? Do you think that somebody should only bring someone around your child when you see that this has real long-term potential in the relationship? Is that it?
I think so. I mean, I lean towards that that philosophy where, you know, when I've identified that this is somebody that I really, you know, can can see building something with and being a part of my family, then, because you don't want to confuse your kids. Why, you know, have all these people in and out of their lives? Because kids get attached too. Kids get attached to people and then they're gone. It's, you know what I mean? So constant losses. Make sure you date him, approve him. Like, what did they say? Like, you shouldn't be, you and your kids shouldn't be dating the same person.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? So make a decision. And then once you make a and things happen, you know, it might not last. But I think to start with that, to have that as your foundation where I see this long term or this is going to be something, and then bring your children in, you know, and see how he. So you ain't really made a concrete decision yet. Then there's another decision to make because you got to see the way he interacts with your children or your child. And then. You know, if that's gravy, if that works, then let's do it.
I think to hear that you were dating in general is very encouraging, particularly for the mothers out there. And I think, you know, because I'm thinking about, you know, how I grew up and my sister and I was involved in everything. My sister was a four sport athlete. I was in every club. My mom was extremely active. And now when I look back on it, it was in this sacrificial way. She literally lived for me and my sister. So dating was not even a thing. Like, it was no man that we would have to, you know, try to see if we liked. There was no point in time where I'm upset because, you know, this dude is around the house. It was nothing. Like, she literally only lived for us. So what was it, you know, within you that gave you the courage, the motivation, the energy to do everything for your son, but then also still make time and effort into trying to live for yourself as well?
Because I always wanted love. Mm. You know, I always wanted that union with somebody to just, you know, have that heart to heart, my person to build, to love, to help one another, to stand by each other's side. You know, I always had that. And I told you too, back then I still wasn't healthy. I was still looking to be rescued. So this wasn't the one. So I need somebody else that's going to rescue me. So that's kind of what it was. So it's really, I was dating out of desperation. You know, a lot of it was dating out of desperation. And then as you start to do the work and, you know, unravel some things and get to the bottom of things within you again, because like I said, if you're the common denominator, you have to look at that. Your marriage didn't work. So even if you can say he was no good, he was doing X, Y, Z and whatever, but you picked him. So like, you got to look at that. What did you miss? What didn't you see? You know, so yeah, you definitely have to you have to do the work. But too, yeah, I've always had a sense of, you know, like I want that. And I think that's what motivated me. But my son came first. You know, my son came first, period. You know, and everybody knew that. And if you could get on board with that, cool. You know, nothing ever took time away from him.
So I want to ask this too, and just also to give the audience a bit of understanding about yourself and where you are, because you probably gave the greatest response I've ever heard to the relationship status question. and I want the people to hear, because when I asked you, what's your relationship status? What was your answer?
Ready.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that one.
Ready.
Yeah.
First of all, I thought when she first said, I thought it was a question like, ready? I was like, yeah, I'm ready. She was like, no,
ready.
I was like, oh, wow. She's ready. Now, here's the thing.
Ready.
You said that after the divorce, it took you 35 years to be ready. So when you describe and position yourself now as somebody.
30 years, not 35, 30 years.
Okay, yeah. Don't add them five on there. If you don't need them five, don't add it. So 30 years, okay. It took you 30 years to now say that you're in a place when you're ready. Mm-hmm. When you describe this place of being ready, especially against where you were prior, what were the things that you have now that you feel make you ready?
I have a deeper sense of self. I have a love for me. You know, I feel whole. I feel complete. You know, I can listen to a love song, and that love song is for me, from me. From me. To be in that space where you just love you like that, you know, is you're coming from a place of wholeness and completion. I don't need you to make me something. I don't need you to give me anything. You know, I understand what my value is. I understand who I am. And I understand that this is a gift, as you are, you know. So again, for me, now it's less about what I need and more about what you need. I'm looking at you and, you know, I love all your amazing characteristics and traits and qualities, but I also have to look at the things that in my mind fall a little short, miss the mark, weaknesses, if you will. And do I have the capacity to help you heal? Do I have the capacity to show up for you when you're in those spaces and when you're battling those triggers and whatever those, you know, demons, whatever that is, do I have the capacity to stand with you and help you heal, stand by your side and not inflame the situation, not take it personal? Is your heart safe in my hands? That's what I'm asking myself. Is your heart safe in my hands? So I think I'm ready.
Sounds like it.
Sounds ready to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It sounds ready to me.
We need more ready young ladies and men out there.
Oh, my God.
Because a lot of them is still stuck in a desperation dating, you know?
Yeah. And I think we talked about this a little bit, Ryan, off camera. One of the things that was huge for me, and I felt, you know, this is another thing that God was telling me to shut it down physically. Like physically shut it down, be celibate. And I've done that now for a few years.
Oh man.
I didn't think it was gonna take this long.
So it's hot
when
and
I
ready.
Signed up.
Hey, hot and ready.
First of all, you got people logging off the video now. They like, I'm done watching this. Right. I ain't watching this no more. I'm done.
No, you do have to shut it down. You do.
You have to shut it down because that's a part of your healing. I couldn't completely heal if I was still wrapped up in relationship because I was in relationship for the wrong reason. So in order to get me right, I had to really separate from that, you know? And the transformation and understanding and growth that has taken place has been astounding, and it would not have happened any other way. So now when I meet people, see, it's so much easier to walk away from somebody who's not right for you when you haven't laid down with them than when you have, especially as a woman, you know? So yeah, I can really, you know, I don't need him. You see what I'm, it's, I'm gonna need him, but I don't need him. I don't need him to give me something that I don't have. I don't need him to rescue me. I don't need that. It's a want. Don't you want your woman to want you?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that sexy?
Absolutely.
So sexy.
Listen.
How long? So wait, just for context, how long has it been?
Long time. September 14, 2020, 6:32 p.m. Hey. Listen, and then let me tell you something. God got jokes. And to make matters worse, I found out like about 6 months ago that my testosterone was low. So it was like really messing with my energy. Mm. And then, you know, it's kind of like putting me in a funk. So now I got these testosterone pellets.
Oh. You ready to pop off right now.
I'm ready to tear him to shreds, honey. I said, you ain't gonna mess around and get hurt.
So yeah. So look, what's the key though? All right, because here's believe it or not, what you saying to lock it down, some people are so far on the other side, that's not even something realistic to them. It's like you saying that is like, oh yeah, whatever. That ain't happening.
They don't even believe it.
They don't even believe. They think you lying right now. They think Ryan lying. They think they so far removed from that even being a possibility. So here's what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
How do you go to weaning yourself off? I was gonna say something crazy. Weaning yourself off and moving yourself away from sex. How do you manage that spirit? How do you do it? What's the sauce?
So for me, it was less about the sex and more about, I just wanted that physical connection. You know, like I was addicted to the physical connection. You know what I'm saying? The sex comes with that, but just it goes beyond, because it's not like as a woman, women can do what they want to do. But for me, I was always just intimate with my guy, whoever my partner is. I'm only just intimate with you. But I would be picking people from a space of desperation and a lack of wholeness. Then you got these soul ties, and it's, you know, it gets crazy. And then there's a word that keeps popping into my head that I'm trying not to use.
Use it.
That's what I'm thinking. Use it.
Use it.
No. You have to unwind. Mm. You have to unwind because you get wound up in all these different, you know, and it's an addiction, and it doesn't even have anything to do with the person.
Yeah.
So you're not even seeing the person. It's a feeling. It's a something. It's a seduction. It's a craving. It's an unhealthy craving that you have. It's lustful.
Oh yeah.
It's lustful, but you mistake it for, you think that's love, but it's neediness and it's lust. And I was going from relationship to relationship to relationship. So when the Holy Spirit told me to shut it down, that was a part of the divine plan, so I could really be delivered from that spirit. That was a spiritual kind of situation, so I could be delivered from that and get past that. And now my temple is so holy and clean.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
With my king,
I'm glad you shared that, because soul ties is real. It's a real thing, and neediness and lust real. Will have you in, I mean, the most precarious and odd and troubling situations
with people you know you ain't got no business being with.
Exactly.
100,000%.
Absolutely. And you want to make choices from a whole place. Mm-hmm. You want to make choices from an aligned place, from a place of knowing. And when you're in that place of knowing, there's no need. I lack no good thing. You know what I mean? So I'm going to make better decisions.
Man, I love that, man. Yeah. Shout out to Cherie.
Yeah.
Zampino shutting that thing down. You know what? I want to ask you this too, because this is a really good. We on our healing energy as we closing this thing down here.
Yes.
Would it have taken you 30 years if you would have shut it down 25 years ago? Would it have taken? Would it have still taken you this 30?
You know, I don't know. What I do know is that my process, Cherie's process, is perfect. So everything is in divine order, in divine timing, and I have no regrets. You know, it all works together for the good. But I will say, if I had to give somebody some advice, take a beat. Stop going from relationship to relationship. Love on you. You are your first love. You are your first love. And once you love you, now you're ready.
I love that you are prioritizing self-love and you are extremely optimistic about relationships. I think it's extremely refreshing.
Man, it is refreshing. I mean, this whole conversation with you from before the cameras came on to now has been absolutely incredible. Cherie, you are a part of the Hardly Initiated family now.
Yes.
And listen, we love you, man. I enjoyed this conversation tremendously. I really do appreciate you joining us today.
Me too.
When you talk to the queens, it's like, the first thing I think is like, I got to get me a wife. I got to get me one. You got me motivated.
Right.
You got me motivated.
That is true.
Yes. Yes. Everybody's not a wife, though. See, that's the problem.
Right.
Everybody's not a wife. He who finds a wife. Not a little girl waiting to be rescued. He who finds a wife, someone who understands who she is and operates from her dignity and her honor, you know, and she's uncompromising with who God has created her to be, you know.
Man.
So
Sheree, this was incredible, guys. Yeah. I want to know what you guys think about it. Let us know what your thoughts are of this episode right down here below in the comments section. If you found some value, let me see you put the word value. And if you got anything else, you can go ahead and tell us that as well. Listen, like this show, please subscribe. Those small actions help us grow and attract amazing personalities, people, minds, and thought leaders like the ones we're speaking to here today. So Sheree, we thank you and honor you again for joining us here today, okay?
Thank you, Kings, for having me. It was a pleasure. And I can't wait to be in the building with you. I made you a promise. When I come to Atlanta, I'm coming through.
Well, we got the hospitality ready for you. We need that energy.
ATL is ready.
Y'all take me to Papa Do's?
You said take you where?
You take me to Papa Do's?
Oh, come on now. We going.
Absolutely.
We going to Papa Do's, all right? It's done. It's done. It's sealed.
Done, dear.
And we got it on camera, y'all. So if she come to Atlanta, if y'all see it, look at her stories every day. If y'all see it in Atlanta and we don't know, just make the sure problem. You DM Hardly Initiated. But Sheree, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, God bless you.
I appreciate it you. And it was a blessing here to share this opportunity with you, okay?
Blessings all mine. Thank you.
Okay.
Let me talk to our people because y'all already know how we get up out of here. It was a blessing for you guys to be up in here. You guys know every Monday and Wednesday night, we have our live show at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you tune in here with us. And if you're not already a part of the Initiate family, you got to make sure you become a part of the Initiate family. And if you also don't, man, Sheree, when you come in town, we got to bless you. We actually got these incredible, especially now since you ready for it. We got these incredible dating decks that you need to have. We have these Hardly in Love decks here that, listen,
we gotta send those out to her.
Honestly, I would love to be able to send one of these over to you. It's incredible. 100 open-ended questions that our initiates have been raving about because, listen, these going to start some conversations that you probably wouldn't even get into yourself. It ain't nothing crazy, right? It's still going to be able to, it's going to keep your temple clean, you know, but it's going to be able to have some incredible conversation.
Ah, perfect.
There we go. Well, guys, what we're going to do is we're actually going to have that in the description here so you guys can go ahead and get your Hardly in Love cards right here in the description of this video here. But that's all we have for you guys here. So y'all already know how we do it. Hardly Initiated. We are out.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.